like to ask those who are going to be taking the offering to come forward. Also, if you haven't got a candle, we're going to be using these at the end, so just so you're not caught off guard, if you don't have a candle yet, they are up by the door. You can grab one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what Tim and Wynn and their two daughters have been able to do. We ask your blessing over them, that you would continue to allow them to go, the visa issues and everything. We pray for them just to have just great impact on those they are able to serve over there. In Jesus' name, amen. So some of you might know that I like Star Wars. Does anybody know I like Star Wars? So I have a good Star Wars Christmas joke for you. Where does Darth Vader go to shop for his stormtroopers' gifts? Anything to the left or right of Target? That's so bad. So Jadae, I got you, man. I'm doing the dad jokes. So. So you got a good Christmas joke to tell. With groans. All right, so the Christmas homily tonight, we're going to be looking at imitating Christ. We've been talking about the definition of discipleship that we've kind of pulled out of Matthew 28 is study, imitate, and share Jesus. And tonight we're going to be talking about imitating. What does it look like to imitate Christ? And how is that kind of fleshed out in the Christmas story? I want to just open with, when I was in high school, I used to play basketball. Anyone here play basketball? A couple people, yeah. So what position do you think I played, Cameron? A guard. Yeah, I played center. So center is the guy who stands in the middle in the paint, as they call it. And one thing I often love to do is I would go up to the foul line in the paint, and I liked it when I got the ball and I could just turn around, and if one of the forwards or both were cutting towards the basket, it was always a great delight to just pass it off, do a nice little bounce pass or a chest pass, and they go and make a layup right by the defense. What is that called, Cameron, when you do that in the game? Well, that's more in soccer, actually. Yeah, what is that called? Teamwork, yeah. Well, the fancy word for it is an assist, okay? And I was looking at some of the greatest NBA assisters. Can you name a few? Who are some people come to mind that were made? Magic Johnson. Yeah, he would do those crazy. He would do great ones. One I always remember was John Stockton. Does anybody remember John Stockton? So if you're from my area, maybe you go, yeah. If you're a little younger, you're like, John who? He played with the Utah Jazz between 1987 and 96, so I kind of show my dated self there. And I watched with amazement as he would pass to teammates such as Karl Malone during my growing up years. He had two seasons where he averaged more than 14 assists per game. So that's a pretty amazing average for the entire season. To be a player that does good assists involves thinking about others more than yourself. You know, because often in sports like that, the glory will go to who scores the most points. But if a team, Braxton said, teamwork makes the dream work, right? If a team doesn't work together, they won't score. You know, one person cannot take it against a whole team unless you're maybe Michael Jordan, but it's very difficult to do that. So when you work together, when you are willing to assist and, in a sense, die to self a little bit, die to your own glory and give it off to someone else, your team can win and the assists will happen. So this Advent season, we're talking about what does it look like to imitate Christ in the Christmas story. And one way I would say this is imitate Jesus by going down before going up. A lot of the way the world handles, you know, the way what is success is shooting to go up, to move up in position, move up in salary. Christmas story is that he went down before he went up. So I'm going to be looking at Luke 2. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, feel free. Luke 2, that first part of it. And then the majority of what I'm going to be talking about is from Philippians 2, where it talks there in depth about how Jesus' incarnation, which God becoming man, is something for us to imitate. So let's look at 2 verses 1 through 7. I was going to try to get that Charlie Brown clip with Linus saying this, but I've been having trouble getting those, ripping those things off YouTube to put on my computer. So I'm just going to read this. But I want you to imagine Linus, the spotlight on him at the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Then turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as we unpack this idea of going down before going up, we're going to break it into two parts. First, imitate Jesus by going down, then imitate Jesus by going up. So each of these, there's three aspects. When we imitate Jesus by going down, we look at his humility, his obedience, his selflessness. And when we imitate Jesus by going up, we wait for God to lift us up, God to defend us, and God to glorify himself in us. So let's look at this idea of Jesus, imitate Jesus by going down. If we think about Jesus' incarnation, it's a case study in humility, obedience, selflessness. You see that in Philippians 2. It talks about this. So if you go back and spend some time in this verses 5 through 11, you'll see those three really emphasized there. Let's look first at his humility. What is humility? Does anyone have any idea what humility is? I struggled with that definition for a while. I used to think humility meant berating myself. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Humility is not that. It's recognizing who you really are. Not overlifting yourself up or under-demeaning oneself. Christ, he laid aside his godhood and became a man. He didn't demand that we recognize him as such. Think about the fact that he came as a baby. What do babies do? They cry, they have to change their diaper. They're utterly dependent. Yeah. So just imagine that he came as a baby. We don't often think about that. God as a baby, utterly dependent. I love this illustration. Brian Chappell, he illustrates the idea of Jesus emptying himself by relaying a story from an African missionary. In this area of Africa, the chief was the strongest man in the village. He wore a very large headdress and ceremonial robes. That's how you identify the chief. One day, a man was carrying water out of the shaft of a deep well, and he fell and broke his leg and lay helpless at the bottom of the well. To get down to the bottom, it was a sort of thing where you'd have to climb around on little posts in the well to get to the bottom. Nobody in the village was strong enough to go down there and carry up the man that had broke his leg, so they called the chief, the strongest man in the village. He laid aside his headdress, he laid aside his robe, and he descended down into the well, put the man on his back, and carried him himself became a human and submitted himself to being a human in our midst. You and I imitate Jesus' humility when we don't find our identity in titles or accomplishments or strengths, but rather in God, who God says we are. So the most surefire way that we see that we're growing in humility is not needing to commend or defend ourselves before others. We know that we stand before an audience of one, God. Through Jesus, God has accepted us, justified us, and fully is satisfied with us if we have asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. So you can know that you're growing in humility by the fact that you don't need to be recognized. You know that the audience of one loves you and accepts you, and it will set you free. So not only do we go down in humility with Christ, secondly, we go down in his obedience. It's humbling to obey. How many here have maybe a supervisor or a boss that it's tricky, it's hard to obey them at times? You may not want to. Other people are kind of, sometimes that happens. It's hard to obey. It's hard to submit ourselves to another's authority. You know, how is this possible for sinful and selfish people? In his classic Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis provides a helpful description of how the fallible believer can become more like Christ in the give and take of everyday life. It helps, says Lewis, to pretend to be Jesus, just as a child might pretend to be a soldier or a shopkeeper, just as a child's imaginary games help the child to develop skills that will later be useful as a real soldier or shopkeeper. So the game of pretending to be Christ inevitably reveals to the believer places for improvement and guides the believer towards spiritual maturity. Lewis argues that the minute we realize we are dressing up like Christ, we will discover ways in which our pretense could become reality. We will be embarrassed to discover thoughts that Christ would not have had and unfulfilled duties that Christ would not have neglected. Those realizations, he says, should in turn prompt us to more complete obedience. Philippians 2:8, it says that Jesus became obedient to the point of death. Obedience involves trust. Trust in God. And this can be hard. Perhaps tonight you feel like God has failed you in the past and find it hard to trust him. You know, I was looking through one of my journals from back in 2014, and I was seeing some things I was writing at that time. We had come back from being overseas, and it hadn't worked out like I hoped it would. And I was, even this 3 years after coming back, was still struggling to trust God. I felt like I had put myself out there and things hadn't worked out. And it was neat for me to see since that time, now 9 years later, that God had healed that part of me, that I could now begin to trust him more and be willing to take risks, even if it didn't work out like I thought. This may take some soul searching and time of lamenting before God to come to a new place of trust, to obey him. We see from the life of Christ that trusting God is the way to obedience and to truly imitating our Savior. So we've looked at, we can imitate Jesus by going down in his humility, by obedience, and last, in this first part, in his selflessness. I got another illustration from Lewis in his book, Miracles. He explains about this idea of incarnation, of going down and before coming up. He explains the descent and ascent of Christ vividly. In the Christian story, God descends to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, and down into humanity. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. One has a picture of a strong man stooping lower and lower to get himself underneath some great complicated burden. He must stoop in order to lift. He must disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mass swaying on his shoulders. In the same way, Christ has done that for us. He's sacrificed. He's gone down to come up. So the ultimate aspect of going down is dying to self. Jesus did this with his whole life, and it culminated in the cross, as we see in Philippians 2. He died for us, but then came back to life to give us the same life. So as we consider this, maybe applying this to ourselves, what ways can we see that we are going down in selflessness? Do we do our good works for the benefit of others? Or do we need recognition? Do we regard others as more important than ourselves? Are we
sacrifice for others without proclaiming it and expecting gratitude. These are some of the ways that show you and I are growing in this imitating of Christ and selflessness. You know, I was praying about that this past week, and one thing God made clear to me, it's interesting to see what he makes clear to you, he said, do, as your family's here now at Christmas, do things they want to do, not just what you want to do. That may seem rather banal and small, but those are things we can do. Think about how this relates to the real day. How do you show selflessness in your life? How do you imitate Christ with those closest to you? So as you're going to family gatherings in the next few days, can you say, how can I do what others want to do, not demand my own way? How can I serve in these settings? Not without expecting praise or even needing others to ask me, how can I serve? And that's how we imitate Christ, by going down. We're going to spend a little bit on this idea of imitate Christ by going up now. The first one is wait for God to lift you up. We see in this passage that God lifted up Christ in due time. I remember flying a kite at the beach. Have any of you ever flown a kite at the beach? It's neat to see. The wind is what gets that kite up, not how fast I run along the sand. And it's nice when once you just get it up, it's going. The wind is carrying it. It's not doing any hard work to get up there. Same way you might see that with an eagle or a hawk or something like that. They're not flapping their wings. So as you and I wait on the Lord, he will lift us up in due time. How do we know this is happening to us? Well, we are content with not getting recognition and not finding our identity and success as the world defines it. We're able to be patient and satisfied in God's timing for lifting us up. Another way we imitate Christ by going up is, number two, waiting for God to defend you. It's real easy for us to want to defend ourselves, especially when we feel like someone is saying something bad about us, or we're getting persecuted for doing good. But we see in Philippians 2, 9 through 10, it is God who has defended the name of Jesus and given him a name that all knees will bow to him. God defends those who entrust themselves to him who judges rightly. So how do we know we're growing in this? We won't need to fight or flee from conflict. We can be truly peacemakers. What's that mean to be a peacemaker? It means to deal with the conflict without fighting or fleeing, but saying, we need to deal with this. You will be growing in peacemaking. It's quite tough to wait for God to defend you. I'm sure you've all experienced that. It's tough to not want to defend yourself. We are only able to do this as we ask God for help to do it. Lastly, of this lifting up, wait for God to glorify himself in you. We see in verse 11 that